The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
Good afternoon. This is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later this hour, we meet cast members from the touring production of Get On Your Feet, the musical story of the rise to fame of Gloria and Emilio Estevan. The show opened last night at Walton Arts Center, and it continues through Sunday. Plus, an update on the Urban League of Arkansas. The state's chapter was dormant for about 20 years before a recent reemergence, and we'll hear from the new executive director. After this afternoon's Ozarks on NPR's Here and Now, David Valdez was George H.W. Bush's official photographer, starting when he was vice president. And some say one photo in particular helped him become president. Plus, a budget crisis and decision over funding for the wall is put on hold, and the trade war with China has stalled for now. We'll hear from the political strategists on Here and Now about the coming challenges in Washington. Here and Now begins at 1 today on 91.3. The annual Ozarks at Large Holiday Winter Christmas Show is tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has enlisted talented people to help us celebrate the season. We'll hear unique takes on holiday standards and some original holiday and wintertime songs from Arkansas, Silver Lining, and Roots Tour. Plus, Mark Landon Smith from Arts Live will read A Charlie Brown Christmas, and there will be hot cider, candy canes, and more. The show, our sixth annual, is free. It begins at 6:15 tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library. All are welcome. See you there. As we head into the new year, the Arkansas Governor's Office is preparing a proposal for a third round of tax cuts. In their analysis of the plan, policy analysts at Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families conclude the wealthiest Arkansans stand to gain the most. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek has a look at the organization's findings and reaction from the governor's office.
After a first round of tax cuts in 2015 and a second round in 2017, J.R. Davis, the communications director for Governor Asa Hutchinson, says the third round of tax cuts is the governor fulfilling a promise he made 4 years ago.
This has been a focus of Governor Hutchinson since he was elected in 2014. We've always wanted to focus on lowering that income tax rate in Arkansas so we can be competitive with our surrounding states as far as economic development goes. So that's really been the focus, and we have to be able to get that top marginal rate down to be competitive. So this is that third step in the process.
Davis says the initial $100 million in tax cuts in 2015 was aimed at the middle class.
So anyone making between $20,000 and $75,000 received a tax cut of around $500 a family per year.
2 years later, the governor cut another $50 million in taxes.
And this was targeted specifically to lower-income Arkansans between $0 and around $21,000 annually. And in fact, about 120,000 taxpayers in that lowest bracket were taken off the rolls completely.
Davis says between those two tax cuts, more than 90% of Arkansas taxpayers have seen a reduction in their taxes in the last 3.5 years. Now he says it's time to make cuts to the top personal income tax rate, from 6.9% to 5.9%.
When companies look at Arkansas to relocate or expand in our state, one of the things they look at is the income tax rate in our state. When you look at their surrounding states, we're much higher at 6.9% collectively than what they are. So if we can get that under 6%, it immediately makes us more competitive from that perspective.
The proposed cut would be phased in over 4 years, starting with a cut from 6.9% to 6.3% in 2020, should the cuts be approved by the legislature next year. Further cuts would go into effect in 2021, 2022, and 2023. Once the tax cut is in full effect, it's projected to reduce state tax revenue by a little over $190 million a year. That's $40 million more than both the middle and lower income tax cuts combined. Bruno Showers, a senior policy analyst for Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, says the tax cuts in 2015 and 2017 matter little if the relative tax burden continues to be put on the middle and lower classes.
The bottom 20% of Arkansans have like an over 11% effective tax rate. The top 1% has about a 7% effective tax rate.
Showers says that means Arkansans making less than $18,600 a year pay more than 11% of their income in state and local taxes, while Arkansans making more than $422,400 pay less than 7%.
I guess my question is, what is the meaning? Like, how meaningful is it that you pursued some minor tax cuts for them if they still are paying a higher effective tax rate?
According to the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, the lowest 20% of taxpayers would receive just 1% of the governor's proposed tax cut pie, while middle-income taxpayers would get 7%. The top 5% of taxpayers who make over $199,000 would see 65% of the benefits from the tax cut. Meanwhile, the top 1% would walk away with 46% of the pie. That's why Bruno Showers says tax cuts on lower-income Arkansans are not enough.
You know, to the extent that we're looking at tax relief, we think that we should be pursuing more targeted relief for lower-income folks that are really already, I mean, based on our analysis, they have a higher effective tax rate. You know, the higher up in income you go in Arkansas, the lower your effective tax rate is.
Showers says Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families would like to see the governor's office or the legislature consider a state-level earned income tax credit.
The chances of there being no tax cut are less than zero. So to the extent that we foresee that coming, we really think that there has to be something in here for low and moderate income Arkansans, just because they already pay such a disproportionate share of taxes.
Showers says Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families is also concerned further tax cuts mean less money in the state budget for critical programs used to help lower-income residents.
There's just so many different things in the budget that we can see pressure being placed from these tax cuts because, I mean, we're talking about, once they're fully phased in, we're talking about $200 million yearly in reduced state revenue, you know? That's not a small number.
But J.R. Davis says the governor's record speaks for itself.
All of these tax cuts have taken place without cutting any services, and that's the plan moving forward.
Davis says Arkansas's economy is growing and supporting the tax cuts that have been made over the last few years.
When we reduced the income tax rate by $100 million in 2015, we've actually seen income tax growth as far as people paying income tax since that time, which means more people are moving into work. The economy is growing, and so we've seen the economy sort of provide that additional revenue when we actually cut that $100 million to begin with.
Davis says the governor's office fully expects that economic growth to continue, and they plan to find savings by paring down the state's 42 cabinet agencies down to 15 through Hutchinson's government transformation proposal.
If you look at some of the efficiencies we've already done, just the one merger from Rural Services into the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, at the time, I think it was forecasted that we'd save somewhere around $10 million over 5 years. Well, we're less than 4 years in, and we've already topped that forecast.
Davis acknowledges there are examples of tax cuts gone wrong, specifically just to the north in Kansas. The state cut taxes by nearly 25% for the highest income rates in 2012, but 5 years later restored its tax rates when the state ended up with $700 million in revenue losses. Davis says the situation in Arkansas is very different. The Revenue Stabilization Act means the state can only spend what it takes in. The governor's tax cuts are not as aggressive, and they'll be phased in over time.
This isn't a lump sum. We're not doing all this at once. We're saying, look, how can we do this in the most responsible manner, and in order to make sure that we're growing at a consistent rate here in the state of Arkansas, as far as the economy goes. And we're not doing all this once to sort of cut our nose off to spite our face like we've seen in some other states. This is a responsible approach.
But Bruno Showers says he's concerned by one of the assessments of the governor's proposal made by a consultant with the Bureau of Legislative Research. The assessment released in August states that if state government spending reductions are used entirely to finance an income tax cut, the state's economy and population will shrink as a result.
If you look at both sides of the accounting equation, both the spending and the revenue, they showed that actually we suffer on all of those metrics, jobs, gross state product, labor force, unemployment rates, all those things. The
tax plan is actually a net negative for the state. The only way that you can kind of pitch it as a increasing productivity and all those other things is if you kind of ignore the fact that we have to cut on the spending side as well.
J.R. Davis says the governor's office is working in conjunction with the Arkansas Legislative Tax Reform and Relief Task Force on this latest tax cut proposal. And while they will have to find consensus on how to implement the changes, there's already vocal support from the legislature.
As we've done in the past, there will be a bill filed, and obviously we feel like we'll have the votes, and when that gets to the governor's desk, he'll sign it. And then at the end of the legislative session, you have the process, as I mentioned before, the Revenue Stabilization Act, and that will be, you know, that's already part of the governor's budget, but you'll see that in the RSA, and then once that's signed, that basically allocates that funding moving forward in the next fiscal year.
Lawmakers will return to Little Rock to start their regular legislative session January 14th. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
The governor's proposal also includes reducing the three income tax tables under current law to a single table with three brackets and three tax rates, as well as tripling the standard deduction. And disclaimer time. That story from Susanna included comments from Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, and my wife, Laura, is the director of the Northwest Arkansas office for that organization. I had nothing to do with the assigning, writing, or editing of the story. Arkansas midterm elections are over for Northwest Arkansas. Voters in a few runoff elections have made their preferences known. The new mayor of Bentonville is Stephanie Orman. She defeated Jim Webb in yesterday's election with unofficial totals indicating she carried 63% of the runoff ballots. In Fayetteville, there are two new members of the city council. Sonia Gutierrez earned the Ward 1 seat, gaining more votes than Olivia Trimble. And Teresa Turk won the runoff for the Ward 4 spot over incumbent John Latour. Arkansas's tax revenue is growing at a higher rate than experts expected this year. The November general revenue report from Arkansas's Department of Finance and Administration shows a gross revenue increase of 7.5% compared to last year. The department published a new general revenue report in early November to better predict economic gains and losses for the fiscal year. The gains recorded last month still surpassed expectations. John Shelnut, an economic analyst and tax researcher for the Department of Finance and Administration, says he believes one explanation is a lower unemployment rate.
Well, of course, we have a very tight labor market. We have good job growth throughout the sectors. I guess in recent months, we've seen a shift from those who were working part-time for economic reasons moving into full-time jobs. So that's essentially the final phase of tightening of the labor market, where you move workers up to full hours as well as pay increases.
The only revenue source that did not increase: tax collections from motor vehicle sales. Shelnut believes this could be the result of consumers already owning the cars they need after a replacement cycle that was spurred by the Great Recession. Even with the purchasing of vehicles down, Arkansans are still spending their money elsewhere, and Shelnut says that's in part due to a larger paycheck.
KUAF's Season of Giving fundraiser is coming up beginning next Monday. And we call this time of year the season of giving at KUAF for a number of reasons. We give our listeners gifts from our underwriters. During our KUAF and Friends holiday giveaway, we host the KUAF Giving Tree, benefiting local nonprofits and helping those in need in our area. And special this year, we'll be offering gifts as thanks for your donations during the fundraiser. You can give yourself or a loved one the gift of a KUAF mug or a KUAF Live 2018 CD, a collection of 13 live recordings from the Furman Garner Performance Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio. And of course, with your donation next week, you're giving the gift of great radio to thousands in our listening community. So many reasons to give and so many gifts to receive. It's all beginning next week during KUAF's Season of Giving fundraiser.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead on the show, cast members from On Your Feet will be in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio following last night's opening performance at the Walton Arts Center. Today, the Urban League of Arkansas is honoring a pair of Arkansans for their work to improve the lives of underserved Arkansans. The Whitney M. Young Award will be presented to Matthew A. Waller, Dean of the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas, and Annie Abrams, a longtime champion for civil rights in the state and for the nation. Marquita Little Newman, the executive director of the Urban League of Arkansas, says the awardees have dedicated their lives to improving the state.
Ms. Abrams, of course, everyone knows her and the great work that she's done as a community leader and as an advocate on important issues. And Dr. Waller, we actually have a partnership with the Walton School of Business, and we work very closely with them to produce data reports that address a lot of the issues that the Urban League works on. Our most recent report looked at education and the impact at a county level across the state. And so again, we are just honoring these folks in a very small way who have had and continue to have a huge impact on our state.
Little Newman made her comments during a conversation with Roby Brock from our partner Talk Business and Politics. She says the award's namesake, Whitney M. Young, was one of the most dynamic leaders of the National Urban League during his lifetime.
And really advanced the organization to prominence in terms of being one of the most visible civil rights organization. He worked as an advisor to President Kennedy as well as President Johnson and just really had a huge impact in advancing issues of economic empowerment. And so our local award ceremony is in recognition of that history of service.
During their conversation, Roby Brock asked Marquita Little Newman about the work of the Urban League of Arkansas beyond today's awards presentations.
And we do that by focusing on four key areas. We work on jobs, housing, education, and health and wellness. And our goal and mission is really to ensure that we are creating and advancing equal opportunity for all citizens in our state.
Yeah. Give me some examples of some things that you guys are doing, some initiatives that you're involved with, and just where are some of those four areas that you just mentioned? How are you deployed?
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, the Urban League of Arkansas kind of reemerged after about 20 years of being dormant. And so we're really in what I would consider sort of that new stage and phase of relaunching the organization and so also focusing on expanding our programs. A couple of the areas where we've already made some progress around health and wellness. We've been hosting health fairs throughout the state, and we've also worked on some education issues by launching our Excellence in Education program, doing a lot of work and having community conversations in smaller districts like Marvel. And so we want to continue that work in addition to expanding our reach. We do have satellite offices in Northwest Arkansas and in Helena. The headquarters is here in Little Rock. But again, our goal is that we will grow the organization, that we will be visible and have an impact on people's lives throughout the state.
So I trust you're looking for more community partners and maybe even some business partnerships and again, just maybe some agency partnerships.
Oh, absolutely. The Urban League is well known for its history of partnering, especially with industry and business, to create those economic empowerment opportunities. And so we are definitely willing to work with anyone who's committed to advancing issues of equity in our state, who's committed to ensuring that every person in Arkansas has what they need, and not only those four areas, but really any area where an individual or family, needs support in order to be successful. So we'll partner with businesses, we'll partner with other nonprofits, we currently partner with education institutions as well.
And you have a background in health policy.
I know
this from previous conversations that we've had. Does your role expand a little bit more in terms of what you bring to the table, or do you have some other skill set that you have not shared with me besides just health?
Well, yes, I do have actually a long history of working in both state government and in the nonprofit sector. In fact, I've exclusively worked in those sectors, and so prior to launching my exciting career in public policy and advocating on healthcare issues, I worked in a lot of direct service organizations, nonprofits that serve the community, and I was also policy director at DHS. And so before the Affordable Care Act, I used to actually work on other issues at DHS, and then healthcare kind of took over, and so it's really a perfect blend for me, and that's why I'm so excited about this new role, because the Urban League really works at different levels to provide social services in addition to advocating. So it's bringing together those things that I love and that I've spent my career career doing, actually working directly in the community, but also being a voice for the community.
Marquita Little Newman is the executive director for the Urban League of Arkansas, and she spoke recently with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can find out more about the Urban League at urbanleaguear.org, and you can follow Arkansas news around the clock at talkbusiness.net.
It's that time of year again. Our annual Christmas show is tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library. We'll have musical performances by Arkansas, The Silver Lining, and Asher Perkins. We'll also hear a reading of A Charlie Brown Christmas by Mark Landon Smith from Arts Life Theater. Admission is free, and we'll be collecting non-perishable food items for our annual Giving Tree initiative. The show starts at 6:15. Hope to see you there.
Sona, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, and Walton Arts Center proudly present The Return of the Snowman, a family concert, 2 p.m. December 16th. It features a special screening of the hit children's film The Snowman with live orchestral soundtrack performed under the baton of Maestro Paul Haas. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. It's time for the annual KUAF and Friends Holiday Giveaway, your chance to win a gift from one of many generous KUAF underwriters. Participants include Fayetteville Roots Fest, Walton Arts Center, Woodstone Craft Pizza, Pack Rat Outdoor Center, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, and more. Winners announced December 14th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. KUAF.com to register or for information.
It is time for a cold edition of our segment where we take a look at live music coming up throughout the region. I'm in the Harold Blanchcock News studio with Timothy Dennis. Timothy, good to see you.
Good to see you. Hopefully I have some music suggestions that'll warm you up from the inside.
I hope so, because I am not a fan of this weather.
Let's start with tomorrow night, Thursday night. Stage 18 is going to have an indie rock show featuring a band called Mount Bank, I believe, M-O-U-N-T-E. B-A-N-K.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Austin.
All right.
It's been real nice looking past this death-faced glare for a wide-eyed gut reaction. Moments like these can't be denied. It's still your child. And Prague, it's still out, not so sure.
Also on that bill is Local Moonsong. That show has a $5 cover. Doors are at 8 o'clock, again at Stage 18 in Fayetteville tomorrow night.
Perfect.
Then also tomorrow night, down at Harry's Downtown in Fort Smith, Aki is going to have another show.
They've been here before.
That show has a $5 cover, set to get underway at about 9 o'clock, again at Harry's Downtown tomorrow night in Fort Smith. Moving on to Friday, up in Springdale, Black Apple Crossing is going to have Route 358.
Perfect.
Fantastic local folk band.
Yep.
That show gets underway at about 8 o'clock Friday night, again at Black Apple Crossing in Springdale. Then over in Bentonville, Honey Jack will be at Meteor Guitar Gallery.
Tell me about Honey Jack.
They're a local Southern-style rock band.
Okay.
Like, they do originals, but I mean, that's kind of what their style is. That show at Meteor Guitar Gallery has a $10 cover in advance or $15 day of, set to get underway at about 8 o'clock. Then over in Bella Vista, Friday night, Melody Pond is going to have a holiday concert at the Artist Retreat Center.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that sounds quite engaging.
Yeah, they're a fantastic local folk duo, and that should be a fun concert. It's also kind of a house show feel there at the Artist Retreat Center, so it'll be an intimate show, which is how I think Christmas music should be consumed.
Sure. Okay.
That show has a $10 cover. It's set to get underway at about 7 o'clock again at the Artist Retreat Center in Bella Vista. Then over in Eureka Springs, Chelsea's is going to have a blues rock band from the Lake of the Ozarks area of Missouri by the name of the Bob Ice Band, B-A-U-B-E-I-S Band.
The Bob Ice Band.
Yes.
Look on my face, and I say it with grace, so she can get in my space, and it is something I must face. So here's what I say, if you want to play, you better listen up, you better listen to all her stuff. Yeah, right now.
That show gets underway at about 9 o'clock, again at Chelsea's over in Eureka Springs. Then down in Fort Smith, Friday night, the Eric Matthews Band will be at Harry's Downtown. They're a blues rock band. They represented the Riverfront Blues Society in the 2015 International Blues Challenge in Memphis.
Fantastic.
So they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That show has a $5 cover, gets underway at about 9 o'clock, again at Harry's Downtown. Then, if you're traveling outside of the area, if you're going down to Hot Springs this weekend, mm-hmm. Maxine's Live is going to have Arkansas.
Oh, we love Arkansas.
We do. And if you don't get a chance to see them tonight at our Christmas show,
right.
You can see them in Hot Springs Friday.
All right.
That show gets underway at about 9 o'clock again at Maxine's Live in Hot Springs. Moving on to Saturday, Smoke and Barrel Tavern is going to have Smoky Folk.
Smoky Folk. I love this name.
I do, too. They're mostly based in the Springfield area, but there are a few people from here in Fayetteville in the band. It's kind of vintage-sounding rock and roll.
These fat's grown cold now. I can feel my purpose start to fade. These games we're playing, silly wars been raging. Yeah, the children just don't see.
That show has no cover, and it's set to get underway at about 10 o'clock, again at Smoke and Barrel.
Is this where we should just offer that disclaimer, because everyone's beginning to talk about the forecast this weekend and what it might or might not do, so you should probably check?
Yeah, I mean, if it's doing something. There are chances for winter weather. Mm-hmm. Sometimes shows go on, sometimes they don't.
I just
check
brought it
ahead.
Up. Yes, because some of these bands are not from the area.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So, yes, it does bear mentioning that.
Okay.
Check ahead with the weather.
There you go.
Over in Eureka Springs Saturday night, Chelsea's is going to have Josh Hoyer and Soul Colossal. Fantastic name, if you ask me.
Is that one band?
That's one band.
Okay.
They are a soul funk band from Lincoln, Nebraska.
I know you know where I am, because it's always where I am. I wish you would give a damn, but I know you don't give a damn. This ain't where I wanna be, but it's where I'm gonna be.
That show gets underway at about 9 p.m. again at Chelsea's in Eureka Springs. Still in Eureka Springs, though, Saturday night, Brian Martin is going to play a solo set at Brews.
See, here's what you can do. If you are going to get snowed in, just go to Eureka, get snowed in there, and just walk from all these places.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a pretty great idea to me.
Right?
Brian Martin, if you're not aware, he's the guitarist in Sad Daddy.
Right.
And he's going to be playing a solo set Saturday night.
Why can't this evening never end? There ain't nothing like that Sunday evening in the arms of the one I love. There ain't nothing like that Sunday evening. Go back to bed and rest your lazy bones, listening to that rain a-pouring.
Again, that's at 7 p.m. at Brews in Eureka Springs. Then down in Fort Smith, Isaiah's All-Stars are putting on a special show at Harry's Downtown.
Well, it's always a special
show
with
Isaiah.
Well, it is,
but this one, the shtick for this one, they're going to do a night of the Grateful Dead and Allman Brothers, featuring people like Jesse Dean, Johnny Arredondo, Dave Gesualdo, several other local heavy hitters.
The thing with Isaiah's All-Stars is it's never quite the same lineup twice.
No.
And it's always fun.
It is. That show has a $10 cover, starts at 9 p.m. again at Harry's downtown in Fort Smith. And finally, Sunday night, Todd Snyder is going to be at George's Majestic Lounge.
That's pretty big. I like Todd Snyder.
What would you say about Todd?
Todd Snyder's a great songwriter. He's engaging with the audience. Just a class act.
I would say that's fair. Jesse A. Cock is going to open up for Todd. That show has a $25 cover in advance, $30 day of, set to get underway at about 8:30 p.m. Sunday night.
Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you.
Everybody's doing that funky tomato. Put your hands in the air.
Put your hands in the air.
Do not resist the rest.
Do not resist the rest.
Now shake your derriere.
Shake your derriere.
From east to west, like you know east is best. Now put your hands out wide. Tomato, forget the Watusi and the Boogaloo, the shag and the shake.
And with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Lee Wood. I would tell you what she does here, but by the time we're done talking today, you're going to say, what does she not do then?
We'll have used up all of our time.
Many things to talk about. Let's first make somebody happy with a night out on us.
Okay, let's do it. It's the first of the month. We pulled from our database of all of our active donors, and this month's winner is Marcia Donley.
Oh, Marcia's been a supporter of KUA for some time.
For a long time, and I feel like she's a neighbor. She lives close to the station. She's around during the fundraisers. So congratulations, Marcia. I'll be sending you something in the mail.
And we do this once a month, and all you have to do to be eligible to get movie passes or restaurant gift certificates or some other goodies is just be an active member of KUAF.
Yep, which means that you gave a gift sometime in the last 12 months. And again, it's a way of saying thank you because none of what you would hear and none of what we do would be possible without the support of people just like Marcia Donley.
If there was only a way to make it incredibly easy for someone to financially donate to KUAF.
Well, maybe we should take next week.
Okay.
And just remind our listeners that, yes, they can call the station or go online and make donations. It's our winter on-air fundraiser next week.
It'll begin Monday. It goes Monday through Friday. And it's, you know, the season of giving.
It's the season of giving. I was going to say, It's our fifth winter on-air fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And
it's going to feel like winter this year.
Yes.
We've had some winter fundraisers when it was like, this is the mid-fall fundraiser. But right. This year is going to be winter.
It's going to be wintry and chilly. And I don't know. That's just me, I guess, because I'm from here. That feels appropriate because it's becoming holiday time. Hanukkah has begun. And, you know, the KUAF giving tree is going to be up. And the season of giving is really something that we do here at the station. We have the KUAF and Friends Holiday Giveaway, where we give away underwriting gifts to our listeners who enter to win. We have the Giving Tree, like I said, where we take donations for local organizations. And this year, of course, then we ask you if you'd like to give gifts to the station. And in return this year, we'll be giving thank you gifts back out to our donors.
For a certain size of donation, there will be that handy KUAF mug.
Yes, which I'm very excited about because it's been a while since we've made a mug. And it's just a simple black and white KUAF logo mug. But nothing says, you know, that you love your public radio station more than drinking coffee out of your mug. So for a gift of $45 during our fundraiser, we will send you a mug as thanks. And then this is really special. For a gift of $250, or I'll cut you a break, and mm-hmm. if you sign up to give $20 a month.
As a sustainer,
we will send you the very first edition KUAF Live CD.
This is really, really fun.
It is. I'm very excited about it. It's a collection of 13 live recordings done mostly in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. A couple were done in one of the individual Ozarks at Large offices. Throughout the year of 2018, just a really good example of the musicians that come through here and the people you have conversations with and their performances that happen on Ozarks at Large.
And this is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of collection because these songs are done a little bit differently when they're in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. And thanks to all the bands who said yes
So fast.
Yes, everybody was very excited about the project. There's a limited edition. We'll only have 100. I know. And we're hoping, if there's a good response, that this is something we can do every year and that can sort of become a collector's item. But what a great way to showcase the talent in the area and the amount of music that we play on our airwaves. So that will be a thank you gift to people who decide to give it that level next week.
Larkin the Loon on there.
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that's a CD. What you don't do on the KUAF Vinyl Hour is play CDs. You play only vinyl, and we're going to have another edition of that Saturday evening at 5 on 91.3 and Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF 3.
That's true. That's true. This week is super fun. My co-host is Chad Maupin, who is the creator of Big Bot Design. He's an illustrator, a graphic designer, a comic artist, and he and I listen to music from movies and TV shows that were inspired by comic book characters, superheroes, sci-fi stories, you know, and we kind of reclaim the term nerd. It's like these are all the things that he's loved since he was a child. They're enduring because they're like American mythology. They tell the stories of our culture and, you know, this like rugged individualism, but working as a team, all of these things. And the music's great, too. I mean, it's like the music of our childhoods, that Superman, the theme from the Superman movie, he said would make him cry. And I'm disappointed because he didn't cry, but I could tell he got a little emotional. But, you know, these are things that are sort of ingrained in your psyche if these are the things that you love and you grew up listening to. So it's great. And I don't know if there's a better person to have a conversation with than Chad Maupin, except for maybe you. You guys are pretty good conversationalists. So we talk about a lot of things, and we preview what's happening this weekend. The Cattywampus Co-op's having Wampus Wonderland. That's something that he's in charge of, and also a new edition, Nerd Prom.
And that'll be taking place Friday night,
right? Yeah. So that's a little bit why we really talk about what it means to be a nerd and how we should be proud if we're nerds about things. So it's a lot of area to cover, but it's great music. It's fun.
All right. That'll be Saturday night, 5 o'clock on 91.3, Sunday night at 5 on KUAF 3. The fundraiser begins next Monday. That's where you can get the CD. And thanks, Marcia, for listening, and congratulations. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Kyle.
91.3 KUAF is supported by Skylark Advertising, offering promotional opportunities using a network of 42-inch indoor panels. The service benefits both the panel location and the advertiser with an exchange of images. Panels located in restaurants, corporations, schools, medical facilities, and more. Information at skylarkadvertising.com.
On Your Feet is a musical that brings the work of Gloria Estefan to the stage, but also the story behind her career, family, and life. The national touring production of On Your Feet opened last night at Walton Arts Center, and it will be at the venue through Sunday. This morning, the actors portraying her parents, Nancy Ticotine and Eddie Noel, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Nancy says she didn't know much beyond the music of Gloria Estefan before Nancy became interested in the musical.
Didn't know their story at all. All I knew was the music that I heard on the radio, and I was like, oh, my God, that speaks to me. Hispanic, yeah, but it's in English, and it's the Latin rhythm, and I studied, come and shake your body, baby. I worked so hard to get all those lyrics out, and I was so proud to be connected to this music that was on my radio. I mean, it was, so I don't know, I didn't know anything about their background, and I followed, I had every single album she ever bought, every song, I sang everything, and then I remember when she had the bus accident, that I remember looking at the TV, and the first thing they said was that she had died. And I say that in the show,
right,
where, you know, Gloria Estefan killed in an accident, and that's what I remember seeing on TV. And then you see that you see her coming out, and she's, you know, in the stretcher and all of that. Yeah, so I didn't know anything about their background or what they went through until I did the show.
Yeah, that happened to me when I went to Broadway and saw the show. I mean, I know she got, like, of course, her music, but that big event, and I was very young when that happens. I know something happened, but I never, like, realized what exactly happened. And when I saw the show, I get all the info, because in this show, you not only you can hear, listen to the music, you can know about her, like, very deep details about her. So it's a very well-tell story about this, yeah.
You know, you mentioned that you heard it and it related to you, but she related to people like me, too, who are
of course,
everyone.
White,
everyone,
guys.
Everyone. I was just mentioning this earlier that there's a line in the show. At one point, they wanted to cross over, what they call the crossover, from the Latin market into the American music scene. And their record producer said, no, forget it. You know, you're doing well in the Latin market. Keep it that way. If you want to do the other in English, change your name, go back home, take out the percussion and the brass, and then we'll talk. But otherwise, we're not going to support you. And so there's a line in the show where he says, you know, I've paid my taxes here for 15 years, and this is my home. And whether you know it or not, take a good look at my face, because this is what an American looks like. And no matter where we are in the country, the reaction is the same from the audience. Yeah. I mean, when we were in Washington, D.C., was when the big hoopla with the DACA program, and that audience, it stopped the show. You had to wait for them to calm down and continue. But no matter where we are, Buffalo, Fayetteville, last night, everywhere we go, people react to that, because everyone in this country is an immigrant. Everyone here came from somewhere else, unless you're Native American. So we all relate to it. Some people are offended. I get it sometimes where they're like, they're taking it personally, who are not ethnic minority, right? But otherwise, we get that support everywhere across the board. I think that's our mission to show. And then what we're doing, we're not rapists, we're not drug addicts, you know, they're healthy people. Mm-hmm. They gave up everything, and they, to get where they were, they did it for free.
I want to ask, you both started dancing at what I would call an early age. Mm-hmm. You in your early teens, or maybe early before?
Yeah, like 15, 15, I started dancing, yeah.
I was nine.
Yeah. A lot of people start dancing at 9 or 14, and then a lot of people are done at 11 or 18. What is it that kept the two of you going?
Well, in my case, my passion has been like dancing since forever. And as a Puerto Rican, I got the rhythm in so many ways, you know, from Africa, you got Spain, and of course, I'm Puerto Rico. And for me, it's my medicine, you know, it's like what keeps me going on and wanting to do and be like happy all the time, you know, or try to, you know, even in as a Puerto Rican, sometimes like Maria, we went through a lot of bad stuff going on, but we always try to get the good things about it. And in my case, in the show, I think I'm trying to transmit that too. You know, I'm always like yelling, I'm making fun in so many. I have to be serious when I have to be serious, you know. But in my case, because of the music, it makes me like to be happy all the time. That basically is that. And Nancy?
Well, my story is different because I started dancing when I was 9 with a woman named Tina Ramirez, and she had a dance school. I started with flamenco, Spanish dance, and I accelerated quickly, myself and my sister and other dancers, and she saw all this talent, but there was no place for us to go. We couldn't go to New York City Ballet, American Ballet Theater. I'm from New York. And she created a dance company for us called Ballet Hispanico of New York, which is still in existence. Mm-hmm. It's the preeminent dance company, Latin company in the country still today. And because of the confidence that I got from being good at something, I'm one of 6 kids, and all of a sudden I was special, you know. So because of that confidence, self-esteem, I think, is key. And the fact that there was something that I did that I excelled at gave me strength to do everything else in my life. It's a platform for everything else. Even if you're not a dancer for the rest of your life, you learn discipline, you learn self-esteem, you know, you learn how to take care of your body and how to present yourself. And then the passion was so strong that I kept dancing no matter what, then doing Broadway and, you know, the dance company, Broadway and movies and musical theater. You know, I mean, I'm training. If I didn't train and have the discipline that I have from that dance company, from that training, I would not be dancing. Dancing now.
I mean, in my case, I'm talking about like all the background of the dances. I forgot about say this, like Jíbaro de Puerto Rico was my platform, not only as a dancer, but as a singer and an actor too. And I've been 15 years in that company and not only dancing in Puerto Rico. I used to visit like different parts of the world. And doing that makes me realize how important is our culture too. So I'm very like proud of it.
Nancy, when you say there wasn't a place for you to dance, was that because?
Because of our ethnicity. Mm-hmm.
How important is it, because
at that time,
right. How important is it to tell perhaps people who are too young to fully understand that that was at once a case? And I think when you mentioned the line in the musical on your feet about this is what an American looks like, how important is it to tell people who might be in their teens or 20s who probably still experience some sort of prejudice, but not that kind?
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting part of what you're asking is that in our business, we are stereotyped always. Unless you're doing, like, now Hamilton is a breakout musical where African-Americans are playing typical historical white characters. But otherwise, you know, I've gone to auditions where I'm the only Hispanic there, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing here? I'm like, everybody's blonde. You know, I'm not going to get this role or this as a dancer when I did chorus auditions, you know, as a dancer. So you have to not take it personally. And the phenomenon is that I'm an older, female, Hispanic singer, dancer, actress, and I'm working more now in a way than I did before.
Eddie, this was your first audition for a touring production?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No.
It was
no
very
sweat.
Interesting. And actually, I started as an ensemble cast, so I have to cover basically most of the male characters. And a few months ago, I get promoted as to play the dad, as Jose Fajardo. So for me, it's been a great journey this year, especially after leaving Puerto Rico after the hurricane. So
he's doing a fabulous job.
thank you, my love. So, yeah, very happy.
And you've dedicated this performance to your mother?
Mm-hmm. My mother is from Puerto Rico. I've never done that. Now you're going to make me cry. She's still with us. My parents are still here. But I just, when Jerry Mitchell, the director of the show, let me know that they were going to, you know, maybe bring me in on this, he said there's a song she sings called Mi Tierra. So I worked on that song with my mother to learn what every single word meant, you know, to decipher everything, because Spanish is not my first language. I speak four languages, but it's not my first language. So she worked with me on it, and I just felt like if she wanted to be anywhere, it's always back in Puerto Rico. You know, I mean, that's where her heart is. That's where her family, her roots are. And, you know, they travel back and forth. You know, we get to see them. But I just felt like this character, I related to who she is. It brought me closer to who she is when I was working on this role.
Nancy Ticotin and Eddie Noel portray the parents of Gloria Estefan in the national touring production of On Your Feet that opened at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville last night, and the run continues through Sunday. You can find out more at waltonartscenter.org. There was a bit more from our conversation that we don't have time to share on this edition of Ozarks, but we will have it on our weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on 91.3 KUAF. If you don't want to be left out of all the events the Fayetteville Roots Festival has to offer next summer, be advised, early bird tickets for the festival went on sale this morning. The Fayetteville Roots Festival will take place August 22nd through the 25th. You can find out more at therootsfest.org. The Rave Foundation will present an afternoon of Emotions Through Dance Saturday from 4 to 7 at the Old High Middle School on Northwest 2nd in downtown Bentonville. The performance, Navarasa Magram by Vidushi Mega P. Rao, carries a $10 admission charge if tickets are purchased in advance. The foundation is dedicated to bringing Indian performing arts with an emphasis on the classical genre to Northwest Arkansas. You can find out more about Saturday's dance presentation and about the foundation in general at the Rave Foundation Facebook page. And Rave is spelled capital R-A hyphen capital V-E. The Arkansas Razorback women's basketball team now 6-3 after last night's 65-42 victory over Tennessee Tech in Bud Walton Arena. Up next, a game in Abilene, Texas against Abilene Christian Saturday afternoon. The Razorback men are in Colorado tonight for a game against Colorado State beginning at 9 our time. And the University of Arkansas Fort Smith men are home hosting Arkansas Monticello tonight in the Stubblefield Arena. Last night in that same venue, the UAFS women dropped a 92-63 decision to Drury. Sunday night at 7 at Rolling Hills Baptist Church in Fayetteville, the local participation in the worldwide candlelight service for families who've lost a child will take place. A reception follows. This is the 11th annual observation at Rolling Hills Baptist that is coordinated with similar services around the world. It's an ecumenical service with special music, prayers, and readings. You can find out more by calling 521-2660. And on December 15th, that's a week from Saturday, the Fayetteville National Cemetery will host Wreaths Across America, a wreath-laying ceremony to honor and remember veterans. The ceremony begins on the 15th at 10 a.m. You can learn more at wreathsacrossamerica.com. And if you were headed to the Caffeine Crawl in Northwest Arkansas this weekend, stop. Drink your coffee or tea at home. Because of a forecast that includes the possibility of snow, sleet, and other must-get bread and milk now conditions, that crawl has been pushed back to January 5th.
91.3 is supported by the City of Eureka Springs, featuring a variety of activities for the outdoor enthusiast of all ages. Eureka Springs is surrounded by various river and lake waterways, including Lake Leatherwood, a 1,600-acre city park crisscrossed with hiking and biking trails and a spring-fed lake. Eureka Springs escape information at eurekasprings.org.
A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and West Fork. Contributors today included Susanna Sitek, Timothy Dennis, and we thank Lee Wood for coming by the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. You can hear the KUAF Vinyl Hour Saturday evening at 5 on 91.3. Our conversation between Roby Brock and Marquita Little Newman was recorded at the KATV Studios in Little Rock. And additional content for today's show comes from our colleagues at KUAR in Little Rock, Public Radio for Central Arkansas. Timothy Dennis mastered our show today. Timothy and Antoinette Grajeda will be with me tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library for the annual Ozarks at Large Holiday Christmas Winter Show that will also broadcast Christmas Eve on Ozarks at Large. We'll end today's show with music from another artist featured on our upcoming live CD that's titled KUAF Live 2018. Dylan Earle is on the CD, and we end today's show with his performance of the song Riding Again. He's playing all over Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas this month, but he is scheduled to be back in Northwest Arkansas January 12th at the Smoke and Barrel in Fayetteville. You can find out more about him and hear some of his music at dylanearlemusic.com. This is the song Riding Again. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
I got 1 foot dry and 1 foot wet, one that bounces and one that steps. Well, I've been 3 weeks over, already in debt. Try to understand the words of a song. Well, I've been too far gone for far too long, 'cause I've been strung out on coffee and these left-handed cigarettes. 'Cause I've been gone again, back to places I'm certain that I've always been. Must be the shape that I'm in. Well, like a squirrel in the garden, I can see the sky. Jealous of the birds for the way they fly, but I still got wheels under my seat. Watching road signs change the way they talk, letters rearrange at each bus stop, 'cause I've traveled half a world in a couple miles. I've been riding again, back to places I'm certain that I've always been. Must be the shape that I'm in. Well, I've been too far gone for far too long, until now that ain't mattered much. I keep pining for the ways to get by, but I can't find the reasons why. I try to be happy again, back to places I'm certain that I've always been. Must be the shape that I'm in. Must be this mood that I'm in. Mm-hmm. must be this town that I'm in.